Champion to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, let the beat go for a little bit. Hey, what's up, what's going on? I'm Brandon London. Thank you for watching the recap of Thursday Night Football for the NFL. This is AfterBuzz TV. You can hit me up at Cultured Athlete. It's just me today, but I have some call-in guests. I have a Skype guest. I have Emery Hunt of Football Game Plan. I have Mo Khan of TSN 690 up in Montreal, Canada. Shout out to Canada. What up, Drake? We're going to recap this game, man. This was a heartbreaker if you're a Detroit friend, a Detroit fan. This was a well-needed win, a must-win for the Green Bay Packers. And for somehow the football gods answered their prayer tonight. And it just so happens, Rodgers to Rodgers. It's crazy. Crazy way to get things going. And what week is this? What week of football is this? Week 13? Week 13 of football. Detroit Lions fall to 4-7. The Packers go to a needed 8-4. The NFC, man. I don't know what's going on with the NFC this season. But we've got all type of storylines going on in the NFC. Dang, I don't know what's going on. Hold on, let me grab a little water real quick. Because to be honest, I drank a lot of beer while I was watching this game. Finally, we had a good Thursday night football game. So I may be a little parched at times. But it doesn't matter. So before I call our first guest, I think we're going to get Mo Khan on the line first, TSN 690 radio host, Mo Khan, and play-by-play announcer. We're going to get him on the line first because we can't have a call-in and a Skype guy at the same time. We're going to have Emery Hunt, a football game plan on the Skype that he's going to come later. We're going to get Mo Khan and get his thoughts on this game, as we call him, to get in touch. But right now, I'm going to tell you what I think about this game. Because remember, Detroit went into Green Bay, a couple weeks ago, and beat them, upset them, beat them up that game. I know they had this game won. I know everyone was thinking this game was won, was in the bag. They thought Detroit was going to walk away with this. The bookies were ready to collect money. You guys were ready to go pay the bookies. Some of you were going to dodge up out of paying the bookies and get your leg broke by Uncle Polly. But I don't want to go on that rant right now. This was supposed to be a win for the Detroit Lions. I don't know what your playoffs. If you playoffs. No, you're not going to the playoffs, Detroit Lions. But for the Green Bay Packers, I don't know. They came out. They were up 17-0. It even got to 20-0. That first quarter, that's what made me start drinking beer, because I was like, you know what? This is just going to be another Thursday night blowout. Another Thursday night blowout. But I was wrong. I was wrong. So let's get in some of the stats. Let's look at some of the stat play of the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't really like an air it out show tonight. There were some big plays in the offense. Throwing wise, yes, obviously the Hail Mary on the end of the game was a big play. The running game for both teams were all right. Detroit's was better, 13 for 67 yards. Matt Stafford ran two times for 22 yards. That's 89 yards rushing. Anytime you can get close to that 100 mark on the day, that's a plus. That's definitely a plus. Green Bay's running game, it's non-existent. So they snuck this win out. Do they deserve to go to the playoffs after this game? Yes, because they snuck this game out like a playoff team does. But the run game. Aaron Rodgers was the leading rusher for the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers, the same guy that you guys, or whoever that guy was who took to social media and wrote the letter to Olivia Munn, his actress girlfriend, and was saying she was to blame for the bad play of Aaron Rodgers and the bad play of the Green Bay Packers. Hogwash. I say hogwash. As a former athlete, I definitely say hogwash. You know what that is? That's just trying to get retweeted. I mean, it worked. It went viral. So I can't hate on you. Only when I have like 4,500 Twitter followers, I can imagine how many you got after, you know, you published that. You went viral. But it's hogwash. And I used to play with the Miami Dolphins, the New York Giants, and played the last 5 years in the CFL. So I know that football lifestyle. I know, yeah, I may not be on Aaron Rodgers level or whatever, but come on, you can't come out with stuff like that. But I don't want to go there just yet. So he led the team in rushing, and obviously, since he's a starting quarterback, he threw 24 for 36, 273 yards, 2 touchdowns. Now he did have 1 interception. That's State Farm type numbers right there. You get your State Farm commercial with that. I mean, the 2 TDs, and he obviously threw the game winner after he scrambled. Between him and Big Ben, those are two dudes who they scramble enough for me. As a wide receiver or former wide receiver, you don't want to play with a running quarterback. You don't want to play with the old Michael Vick when he was with the Falcons. The one on Madden, remember when Madden had those QB visions and they're like this big, all you did was run with Michael Vick, because every time you tried to lock on to another receiver, it was so hard to get the QB vision. Remember Peyton Manning was like that big, but Peyton Manning can't run like Michael Vick. That's what I'm saying. As a receiver, you want to play with a quarterback who's mobile. He's not a running quarterback. He's a mobile quarterback, and that's where the NFL is going these days. You see the way he got. He created the play. Receivers, as a receiver, you don't know if you're coming down with that Hail Mary ball. We run it in practice. In the NFL, you run it Friday. You know, you run that play. You run all the last second plays, the little toss back that they did prior to that before the face mask, which we're going to get into the face mask once we get Mo Khan on the line. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, it goes back to the point with the guy talking about, oh, Olivia Munn is to blame and stuff. You see what he's having to do? I'm the leading rusher with 27 yards. He rushed for a touchdown, threw 2 touchdowns. What more do you want from this guy? He has no receiving corps. The Green Bay Packers wide receiver corps, where are they? I mean, look, they're professional. I know a lot of you at home, I don't know, the Packers fans or whoever, you guys, oh, they're bums, y'all. Remember, these are NFL receivers we're talking about, so not one of them is a bum before we go there. But I see what you're saying. One might not be good as a Dez Bryant or whatever, but Dez Bryant is a Dez Bryant for a reason. So we clear that out. I'll put that out there before people say, oh, you're hating, you're mad, you're not in the league anymore, you can't play, you blah, blah, blah. I know as a receiver, I know how they feel and everything. They're not getting it done right now. And the Green Bay Packers, I don't know how far they're going to get without Jordy Nelson, since he's out for the year. How far are they going to get with no running game and no real receiver? You're tight end. And your starting running back were your team leaders in receiving. The Rodgers, the tight end, had 8 for 146 and a touchdown. He's the man right now. The tight end. Now, the second leading receiver was Starks, the running back. 5 catches, 45 yards. 5 catches. We're giving the run. We're throwing the running back the ball 5 times. He caught 5, so let's say they probably threw him 7. That was a guesstimation just by, you know, completion percentage to a certain individual player.
Hey, Brandon?
Yep.
We have Mo on the line.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
Sorry about that.
See, I get to rambling sometimes. You see, hey, we actually have it on the line. Ladies and gentlemen, Canada, what's up? Canada's in the building. My good friend Mo Khan. He's TSN 690 radio up there in Canada. That's like the ESPN in Canada. He's a radio host up there. He's had me on his show a couple times. I appreciate it. Did an internship up there while I was playing up in Montreal. And he also does Game by Game. Mo Khan, what's up, my man? How you doing?
What is going on, Brandon London? How you been in L.A., my friend?
Okay, man, I'm doing all right. But I see you hit him with the Barry White voice, man. I see you. Ladies in L.A., you heard that voice? The boy's smooth, man. He's smooth. Mo Khan, man, what's going on?
It's your East Coast time, my friend.
Yeah, man, I'm on this West Coast time, man. I might even go surfing after this or something. So, Mo Khan, man, what you think of the game, man?
Well, you can look at it from multiple facets here, Brandon. First and foremost, fantasy football for those seasons that have been saved by the Rocks Hail Mary touchdown.
Oh, okay.
You look at that perspective.
You're right. You're right.
You look at it from a different perspective that Green Bay saved their season with this Hail Mary touchdown pass.
Yep.
And then finally, you look at it from the Lions' perspective that Jim Caldwell's fate may have been sealed by this Hail Mary touchdown because, again, you look at the momentum Detroit had generated the last couple of weeks here. And the way they ended this game here, where they're up 20-0, as he made the point before, and they lose in this fashion, definitely demoralizing on multiple facets for the Lions and for the Lions fan base, who are going to ask themselves, are we jinxed forever with what we've gone through as a franchise the last 50 years?
And with everything you just said right now, the one point that hit me the hardest was when you said, is Jim Caldwell's fate sealed off of that one play? And this is where I'm going there, because my father, former University of Virginia head coach Mike London, he just was fired, resigned this past Sunday after his time there, after six seasons there. And it's like, for Jim Caldwell, I know we called the right play. It's a Hail Mary situation. We went over this Hail Mary situation a million times, DNs, you rush the quarterback, keep him in the pocket, don't let him extend the play. DBs, you got to go up for the ball at the highest point, bat the ball down, don't let anyone catch it. If you got to take the PI, take the PI, blah, you know what I'm saying? Like, in a situation like that. And they still, that seals the fate as a coach. And like you said, that really sums up the Detroit Lions, you know? And that's crazy, man.
It really is, Brandon. And when you think about how this game unfolded in the second half, with Detroit up 20-0 and the opening drive of the third quarter for Detroit, they're on a 5-minute drive now. They can't convert on 3rd-and-8, and they're kicking field goal to go up by 20 points here. They could have gone up by even a bigger score, and who knows what could have happened at that point. But I just thought they fatigued in the fourth quarter, allowed Green Bay to make fourth down conversions, allowed A-Rod to be what he does best, improvise in the pocket, buy himself time to find his guys down the football field. And quite frankly, when you think about it, Brandon, from the start to finish here, it was two different halves. And at the end of the day, Green Bay got the big W, and now they focus for Dallas next Sunday.
Focus for Dallas. I mean, that's as a player, that's one of those I'm going to the club tonight. As soon as we fly back to Green Bay, I'm going to the club. I'm out there. What clubs are? I don't know what's popping in Green Bay. Where's there to go on a Thursday night? You know, you get your girl, your little Netflix and chill girl. You bring her out to a bar or something. She's got Uggs on up there in Green Bay or whatever. I don't know how they rock up there, but as a player to win that game, a must-win game like that, and it's Thursday. You have 10 days before you play another game. I'm gonna go get it in that night. One of those type games. Unbelievable. But and I made a point earlier about Green Bay going forward, because I don't know if you heard me talking about the Livia Munn haters who were saying that she's to blame for the Packers and such. She's really not to blame, man. Look, I look at the receiving core that Randall Cobb had 4 catches, 29 yards. The Adams kid, 4 catches, 21 yards. James Jones 1 for 19. What, like, how do you go forward? How do you consider yourself a team that's going to win the division and win some playoff games to get at least to the Super Bowl?
Well, not only that, though, Brandon, you look at Green Bay's O-line. Coming into the game, they were missing 3 of their starters, and then Bakhtiari goes down for a portion of the second half.
Yeah.
So theoretically, you're missing 4/5 of your starting O-line.
Yeah.
So for them to do what they did with pretty much backups on the football field to win like they did, it's remarkable. But the thing is, though, Brandon, their depth has been tested since preseason when Jordan Nelson went down with a season-ending ACL injury.
Yeah, man.
And they suffered injuries on both sides of the football here. It's remarkable they're at that point where they're 8-4 with 4 games to go. But let's not forget, those next 4 games, They'll play a very tenacious Cowboy team and improve Oakland Raiders football team on the road. Then they go to Arizona on the road, home to Minnesota, which could very well be for the division title and a potential 3, if not 2 seed in the playoff raw rankings when it's all said and done.
I don't know what to expect, man. I really don't know what to expect in the NFC. But we can all as well agree that the Lions' fate, now guys are playing for jobs and such for next year, right?
Well, not only that, though, Brandon, you look at a guy like Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson is going to make about $20-plus million next year. Matt Stafford's going to make somewhere close to $20 million next year. Those are high price tags for those two players to occupy your salary cap. And you wonder if Calvin Johnson's playing his last games at the Detroit Lions and they move away from him because, again, they didn't re-up Ndamukong Suh or Nick Fairley last offseason. And you wonder now, moving ahead here, if they want to get a clean break from the past Lions and start anew with a new receiving core to work with, because those two guys command a lot of money and you can't have that on your salary cap, where today, cheaper commodity that can produce at a high level is much more valuable than a guy who's making a lot of money and now in his late 20s and more or less not the best receiver in the NFL like he was 2-3 years ago.
Look, man, if you're talking about getting rid of Calvin Johnson over Matt Stafford is not worth $100-plus million. So if I'm the Lions, I'm getting rid of Matt Stafford over Calvin Johnson if I have to. But here's a sleeper, and this is me. Golden Tate's going to the Patriots. Everyone's trying to link Calvin Johnson to the Patriots. I bet you Golden Tate goes to the Patriots. Watch. That's my random fact.
It could happen, right? But again, it goes back to the theory, though, with the salary cap, what it is right now. Are you going to keep a franchise quarterback who's still in his prime, who's put up some decent numbers the last couple of years, albeit though has not played well? Or you can keep a receiver like Calvin Johnson, who's been banged up the last couple of years, and now he's going to be 30 years old come next season at the cap hit that he'll have. So, again, it comes down to economics here. I think for the Ford family, they want to see this team become competitive and give Detroit fans something to cheer for. Otherwise, you might see more bluebirds when the Matt Nunn era was the darkest time for football in Detroit and for a lot of fans across the world.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Appreciate the insight, Mo Khan. Mokan, tell the people where they can find you at, man. Give a shout out to Canada up there in Montreal for me, man. Where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mokan19. I'm not on the IG yet, though, Brandon.
No IG?
I will not on that yet, but I will eventually get on that sooner or later, my friend. We miss you. We miss you down. I know you're down in LA getting the suntans and whatnot, but we miss you up here in Montreal.
Yeah,
hopefully,
man,
we'll see you again sooner than later up here.
I'm going to try and get up there soon. It probably won't be to like the springtime when it warms up a little bit, but you know, tell Matt Ross I said what's up.
I will.
Tell PK I said what's up, my favorite Montreal Canadiens player.
I'll tell you this, though. There's some clubs, man, that open up in Montreal. You have to come check out, my friend.
So
I
heard.
Let's put it that way.
And I saw how Kylie Jenner or Kendall Jenner had their birthday party in Montreal. I was like, dang.
Yeah, DJ Wuki was up here. Everyone was up here for that party.
See, and Drogba goes to Montreal. All that happens when I leave, man. You guys celebrating my departure. Hey, but appreciate you coming on, Mo Khan, man. I'll holler at you,
man. We'll speak soon, all right? Have a great weekend.
All right, take it easy, man. That was Mo Khan of TSN 690 up in Montreal. Really good friend of mine. Covers Montreal Alouettes, CFL football, basketball, everything, all sports up there up in Canada. We're going to get Emory Hunt on the line. I'm sitting here reading something while I'm talking. It's crazy. We're going to get him on the Skype. He's going to come in, be my guest. We're going to talk the rest of this game. Where do the Packers go from here? What about the Detroit Lions? Kind of like me and Mo Khan were talking about. Do you get rid of the Matthew Stafford or do you get rid of Calvin Johnson? My theory about Golden Tate going to the New England Patriots. It's just a theory, but come on. That sounds... Golden Tate is the best. I have this written down right here. I promise you. Because I was, like I said, I was a little buzzed from some beer earlier. And I didn't know what I was going to remember and what I wasn't. Golden Tate is the best technically number two receiver in the NFL. Hands down. I mean, you have Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Golden Tate, and he's not even considered a number two to me. Golden Tate is the number one receiver. 8 catches, 63 yards. I know that's not, there's nothing huge about that. 8 catches, 63 yards. It wasn't anything crazy. But look at what he does. for Matt Stafford. He's an outlet for Matt Stafford. It was one point where he was up 24 catches in the last 2-3 games. I'm getting the rock. So do you let Calvin Johnson go? Oh, shoot. They're going to end it right there. Oh, man. I'm off today, ladies and gentlemen. See, that's why you don't drink beer before you come on TV, man. There's TV's right there. Emery Hunt, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, Brandon? How you doing?
Oh, man. Just as you can see, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm going to make sure I don't drive, you know, before I go home, take an Uber or something, because I'm obviously, I don't know what's going on right now. But what'd you think of the game, man? What's your thoughts on it?
You know, when you look at the stats as a whole, you see how everything was geared toward Detroit winning that ball game.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing that at the last play, they were able to catch that Hail Mary.
As a Detroit fan, if you could write a letter to the Detroit Lions, if you're like a Detroit fan or whatever, like what would you say right now? Is there a curse? Is it the quarterback? Is it the coaching? Like what is going on? They shouldn't be a 4-17 this year. 4-17. Why are they a 4-17?
Yeah, that's very tough to say, man, because you look on that roster offensively and defensively, there's a ton of talent. And if I were writing a letter to the fans, I would just say, you know what?
Change gonna come.
I heard you talking earlier about whether or not you get rid of Calvin Johnson or you get rid of Matt Stafford.
It's Matt Stafford.
A lot of people don't understand. The quarterback controls
everything.
Everything. Yes. You know, they handle the football every play. And although he played well today, over the course of his career, he has been the reason why they've been madly inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know? And so you can't deal with that. You don't get rid of threats, i.e. Calvin Johnson, where you can get a guy that can just be, you know, competent and decent at quarterback and do just as fine. So I think with the amount they're paying him, you have to look at Matt Stafford as a guy they would have to probably move if they have to move one or the other.
But they're saying Calvin Johnson's not who he used to be. They're saying this is our franchise quarterback. We paid him $100+ million for C-plus play. Maybe B-minus if we scale it. Like a lot of teachers had to scale my grade or whatever. Maybe B-minus, C-plus, you know, C-plus talent for $100 million. You could free up some space by letting Matt Stafford go. Does Jim Caldwell come back as head coach?
I think he does. You look at last year, they went to the playoffs. This year, they had some injuries early on.
Every team has injuries, man. Every team has injuries.
I think that, you know, the one thing, and I'm going to speak from the running back perspective, because I think you have to have some type of running game. They do have the right personnel on the roster. I like Ameer Abdullah. I mean, he sacrificed Morgan Burnett's ankles early in the ball game, and he's still out there on the field. But, you know, I do think that they have to find a way to get balanced. That's how you help out a quarterback that will cost you a game in the end. You see it down in Miami. They're not having success because they put too much faith in a guy that's mediocre in Ryan Tannehill. But I just think for Detroit, it's tough to say because there's talent at receiver. There's talent at tight end. They've drafted along the offensive line. They got good talent in the backfield.
I got a $100 million quarterback.
Boom, man. That's what's holding up progress. Because, again, I look at teams when they throw a lot of money at, let's say, a quarterback like that.
Yep.
That tells me you don't trust your ability to go out and draft. And you know this well as anybody. There's tons of guys out there that can go out there and play competent quarterback. You can look in the CFL and pull out maybe 6 or 7 guys that could start right now for Detroit and be just as fine. You know,
there's 9 teams in the CFL. There's not 6 quarterbacks that can go down and start for the Detroit Lions.
Hey, I'm just saying, there's more than you have to trust your ability to go out there and find the guy. And I think that Matt Stafford is the only player you can ever find to play quarterback because he's halfway decent.
And it's not like you can draft high. If you draft, that means you're starting all over. Maybe you make a trade. Maybe you do something where you can bring in the aging Phillip Rivers. Nah, that's too far-fetched. I went far-fetched with that, too. Yeah, I'm tripping. But if and it goes back to the point where you said you were naming all the weapons on the offense line, defense line, blah, 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 on the receivers, all that. So you're saying the groceries are there. So what basically are you saying? You're blaming it on the chef. So you're saying Caldwell's got to go then.
Well, Caldwell did shake up his kitchen, you know, getting rid of the offensive coordinator.
Shake the kitchen up. The prep people.
Prep people, right? He got rid of the line cook and everything, you know. So he made some moves. So we'll see. And you know what? Caldwell is a guy that has proven that he can get it done. He brought the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl. He brought Detroit to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
He had them rolling up until this game. I mean, they played well in this game. He just couldn't find the football in the last play and knock it down.
And that's the thing, because the fact that you lost, it takes away from all the good that we had written down in our notes about Detroit. It would have been a different tune had they won. Matthew Stafford played a good game, didn't throw a pick. Golden Tate stepped up, 8 catches, 63 yards. Not anything crazy, but they moved the ball. One more thing about Matthew Stafford, and like I'm not hating on him. One more. There was a deep ball to Calvin Johnson towards the end of the game. It's like 3 minutes left or something. You got to hit that. $100 plus million, you got to drop that in the bucket. You have to drop that in the bucket.
And see, that's the part I was having this debate, I want to say yesterday on Twitter, with the quarterback wins. Some people think that's not a real stat. I think it is. And some people will look and say, well, how can you say Matt Stafford lost his game tonight because of the Hail Mary that Aaron Rodgers completed? Well, to your point, look at that pass.
That's the throw he was supposed to hit. Yep, you got to hit
that.
That's
the game ender right there. Yep. You beat that throw, we're not even having this discussion about a Hail Mary. So that's the difference. The quarterback is so important because, again, like we talked about earlier, he handles the football every play.
And here's the thing, because I don't know who's up on Twitter and who's listening or who's going to comment on that statement we just made. I know people will be like, oh, there was pressure in his face. You know, he couldn't be accurate enough on that throw. Tom Brady makes that throw. Phillip Rivers makes that throw.
Drew Brees makes that throw.
Drew Brees, Tony Romo. At the end of a game like that, healthy Tony Romo. I'm talking healthy hypotheticals right now. Healthy hypothetical.
Russell
say that
Wilson
50
makes
times.
That throw?
No, Russell Wilson doesn't make that throw.
You don't think so?
Russell Wilson doesn't. That deep ball accuracy like that, Russell Wilson doesn't make that throw. Colin Kaepernick, no, you definitely don't make that throw. Carson Palmer puts it in the vicinity for his receiver to make that play. Man, that dude, John, the Cardinals receivers, that's a whole nother story, but. Quarterbacks here. Mariota, nah, not yet. Roethlisberger, yeah, you make that throw. Roethlisberger makes that throw. Joe Flacco, I don't know. I'm naming quarterbacks because it's like, where does Matthew Stafford sit? Matt Ryan, he doesn't make that throw. Not in that situation.
He gets sacked.
He gets, or maybe even throw a pick. But it just goes to show, we're giving this guy $100 million. Are we satisfied with this $100 plus million? Do we take that L? Do we just, all right, you know, it's like you take a chick out, beautiful chick. Oh, you know, you married and stuff like that. This is more of a me hypothetical. You take a beautiful chick out, you go out nice restaurant, spinning the lobster, nice bottle of a 67 Pinot Grigio or something like that. No, I purposely didn't say that right for anyone.
All right.
You just got to put it out there. And then, you know, you don't even get to kiss her or nothing that night. You know what I'm saying? I spent all this. I don't even get a kiss. You know, like, what's up? That's what that Lions relationship is like with Matthew Stafford right now. That's what I feel like. Maybe a kiss. But it's like the date, you know, where this date was a whack date. Maybe that's a bad hypothetical, but that's just where I am.
I
kind of
feel where you're driving to. Yeah. You know, he's kind of stringing these guys along, and they're waiting for that one moment to be like, aha, see, that's why we gave him.
Yeah, they're waiting. Every Detroit fan is waiting for that. I'm kind of waiting for it because I mean, I'm not like a hater. I love competition as a receiver. if I'm Calvin Johnson, I want, and I don't want to keep going back to that one play because he made good plays throughout the game. But that right there, that play was the showstopper. And if I'm Calvin Johnson, I only have three catches, 44 yards. I have a touchdown. You threw me the fade ball on the 20-yard line, the red zone fade ball. But right there, that's my other touchdown. If I'm not going to hit them for 8 catches, 167 yards, and a touchdown, I need that last one to make my catch total 4 catches for, what was that, about a 40-yard bomb? That's 4 catches, 80-something yards, 2 touchdowns. Now that doesn't make me look old. That doesn't make me look washed out. I'm playing with a quarterback who can put the ball in the vicinity. I'm 6'5". Do you remember the numbers when he came out? His measurements and his speed, agility when he came out, and the plays he's been making, going up, getting balls, making plays, making catches. At least give me the opportunity to do my job.
Right. You're right. At worst, that could have been a big gain and not just a touchdown. You know, at worst, it's a big gain and you still run out more clock.
Yeah, yeah. And that comes down to these teams. That's a 4-8 team type play. That's a 4-8 team. Or are they 4-8, right?
4-8.
Yeah, 4-8. See, man, so let's go through these predictions, man, for next week, for the week that's coming up. We got these Sunday games. This is a lot of good Sunday games, man. First coming up, Houston versus Buffalo.
Man, Houston is resurging, man. And Buffalo seems to be, you know, teetering toward mediocrity. It's going to be a tough game. I trust the quarterback in Buffalo more so than Houston. Although their defense is going to be tough, I look for a low-scoring game, but I like the Bills.
Whoa. Why do you trust Tyrod Taylor?
Because of his ability to make plays with his legs. I just can't trust Brian Hoyer because he tends to sack himself and he'll have those bouts of inconsistencies where he'll throw an errant pass and Buffalo secondary, I think, can make plays. I just can't trust him. They'll run the ball. They'll play good defense just like Buffalo will. But if it comes down to who can make plays throwing the ball, and although they have a good receiver, the Bills have two other good receivers, I believe. And I just think the passing game, you have to side with Buffalo.
I put Tyrod Taylor in the same category as Matthew Stafford, man. Mm-hmm. They're the same quarterback.
Understandable.
The same Madden rating to me. this game does matter because the Bears are playing some good football, San Francisco at Chicago.
I go with Chicago. I think
they need it.
Chicago is now taking over where Detroit is. You know, they're trying to make that late playoff push.
Yeah.
And even though the last time I was on here, we talked about Blaine Gabbert and how they were going to get blown out in the game. They ended up winning, although he didn't play well.
Yeah, they still won.
Decently average, you know, maybe even below average. But I think Chicago has new life, and I think they win this game.
Cincinnati-Cleveland.
Who?
Rivalry.
Right. So everything logic-wise, it gets thrown out the window. So this one will come down to who can make plays offensively, and I just can't trust Cleveland. Although they played a great game Monday night against Baltimore, I like the Bengals.
With Cleveland, I just don't care anymore. I'm sorry, this is the team I was rooting for this season. That was going to be my underdog sleeper team this year. Money Manziel. If you're not going to play Manziel and you're going to lose, I'm sorry. Like, we have no relationship. I'm not going to at you on Twitter. I'm going to just write Browns. I'm not going to at Browns. I'm just going to write Browns. Baltimore at Miami.
I like Baltimore. I thought they showed some heart last Monday versus the Browns. I just can't trust Matt Schaub, though. I mean, with these pick sixes, that throwing intercepts are bad enough, but when all your picks go back for touchdowns, detriment, man, your liability, you know. So, but I still think they'll cause enough trouble defensively because on the other side you have Ryan Tannehill, who's just as scary. So I like Baltimore.
They're below Tyrod Taylor and Matt Stafford to me. Cincinnati at Minnesota. There goes the game.
Well, I mean, this could be a playoff matchup.
That's a beer drinker right there.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think this one would be very tight, man. I think Seattle's offense is starting to figure things out. Minnesota's defense is real tough. I like Seattle. I have to roll with Seattle.
Uh-oh. Here goes the Mets versus the Yankees, the New York Jets versus the New York Giants.
Yep. I mean, you put funny part is, if you take Eli Manning and put him on the Jets, I think the Jets would be 8-3 right now. You take Ryan Fitzpatrick and put him on the Giants, they'd be the Jets right now. So with that said, I like the Giants. I think despite all their injuries and things like that, I do think they have more than enough talent to knock off New York. And I just can't trust Fitzpatrick throwing the football on a consistent basis.
You know what's funny? Like, you just gave a great breakdown for that game, but I'm thinking, since the Jets are away, do they still get per diem?
Yeah, right.
That's the first thing that popped up in my head, that since they share a stadium. Is that the athlete in me? Is that the former player in me? Because do they let them stay at home, or do they have to stay in the team hotel that night? I'm like, dude, oh, man, I wonder if they get per diem.
Hotel, the same hotel as the Giants, though.
Man, I missed that per diem, man. I missed that per diem. Arizona at St. Louis.
I like Arizona. People talk that trash before about Larry Fitzgerald being old and washed up, and all he's doing is having a resurgence season. He had one last year. Yep. So it's funny how a good quarterback can make you look, right?
And this dude Brown is balling, yo.
Exactly.
He's balling right now.
They're getting everybody involved. So I think they're going to give St. Louis, you know, a tough day, especially since St. Louis still can't figure out the quarterback situation. You know, it's a common theme with a lot of these games, right?
Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
I like Famous Jameis. I think, you know.
Ooh, we got a name for him.
Famous Jameis. And that defense, I think, will get after Matt Ryan, who flinches when he sees or thinks he sees pressure. I like Tampa Bay.
He's so disappointing right now. It's crazy. Jacksonville at Tennessee is subject to blackout.
Well, Jacksonville has played some good defense, but again, I think Tennessee is very good for a young team starting a rookie quarterback. I think they'll win this game as well.
Kansas City at Oakland.
This is a good one too, man. This may determine that last wild card spot in the AFC, I believe, because Kansas City is roaring with their 6-5. Oakland, young upstart, you know, kind of fell back a little bit, but they still are a very dangerous team. I like the Raiders.
Man, the Raiders have disappointed me. They've just. I want to root for this team. That's Cleveland and the Oakland Raiders were going to be my little, like, okay, let's see what they do. You know, I'm not going to bet 100 on them. Maybe I bet, you know, I put like 15, see what it gets me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of those type teams. And they haven't been doing it, man. Recently, they just haven't been doing it for me. Kansas City, I kind of want to see that momentum keep going. Denver, San Diego.
I like Denver. I thought San Diego actually was my preseason pick for the Super Bowl. But I thought San Diego finally getting that running back in place. But Gordon hasn't produced this year, and they've had so many injuries up front. You know, that's tough when you have a guy that's not going to be as mobile back there at quarterback. I think Denver wins this one in a close one.
That Super Bowl prediction is like putting 15 down and hope, and then if you strike on that, you get like 50,000 on the cash out. That's what that San Diego, dude, the Charger, Philadelphia at New England.
Oh, tough game for Philly, man. After getting blasted a couple weeks ago by Tampa Bay, and they got punched in the mouth at home against I forgot who they played last week, but they lost. I like New England.
This next one. Don't sleep on this next one. Carolina at New Orleans.
Hey, you know, hold on.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you are a Saints fan. All right, go ahead. Keep going.
But I am a realist and I am an analyst. The Saints going to get blasted in this ball game.
What?
So I like Carolina to move on.
For real?
Saints.
I thought you were going to say, like, this was going to be the upset.
No, this is not the upset yet.
All right. The Sunday night game, Indiana at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, you got to win this game, Pittsburgh.
This is the upset, I believe. I think Matt Hasselbeck has found that fountain of youth. I think they knock off the Steelers. I think he has. This is what we were talking about earlier. You don't have to be dynamic. Just don't have to be a scary quarterback, and just don't make a mistake. And that's exactly what Matt Hasselbeck is doing.
Matt Hasselbeck is going to the Detroit Lions next year. Watch. Now the Monday night game, last but not least, America's team. I don't know why they call them that. The Cowboys versus the Redskins. One of the oldest rivalries in the most famous rivalries in the NFL. Dallas goes to Washington. What's your thoughts on this one?
And I'll be at this game as well, covering this
game.
So
okay.
Looking to get down there. It'd be a late night for me. But I do think Washington wins. I just can't trust. If I'm Dallas, if it were me, I would start Kellen Moore at quarterback. I've seen the unnecessary Matt Castle show. I've seen that play out. Start Kellen Moore. If they start Kellen Moore, they win this game. Since they won't, I'm going with Washington.
Man, I'm from Virginia, and I don't even root for the Redskins. I want Dallas to win, but I don't. You don't put money down on backup quarterbacks. You don't put money. Did you at least, were you at least in mini camp with these guys? Did you at least work out? Were you in OTAs with these guys? If you go to a quarterback who wasn't there for none of that, but he doesn't have a well-known name, it isn't like a Brett Favre coming out of retirement or something, nah, you don't bet on that. I'm going to just go ahead and go with Kirk Cousins on this. You like that? You like that?
Well played.
After Buzz TV, you like that? That's Emery Hunt right there. M, go ahead and tell the people they can find you out on social media, man.
They can find me on Twitter at FBallGamePlan, and we are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Vine under the same handle, Football Game Plan.
And you said you're going to the Dallas-Washington game. You doing what are you doing down there?
Just your regular scouting reporting like we did back at Stony Brook. But this Saturday, I will be calling a state championship game in Delaware. So I'll be calling both of those high school state championship games. I'll be doing a play-by-play. Color
commentary. You working, man. Hey, that's what it's about, man.
Get my Chris Collins word on.
I feel it, man. Hey, After Buzz, I want to thank you guys for watching. That was Emery Hunt Football Game Plan. I'm Brandon London. Where's that wrap-up music? Can we get that wrap-up music? I'm going to do my dance to the wrap-up music. Here it goes. Make sure you guys check me out on social media at Twitter or on Twitter at Cultured Athlete, BrandonLondonTV.com. Thanks for watching the Thursday Night Football recap on AfterBuzz TV. Check out all the other shows, the SmackDowns, the Vampire Diaries. There's a whole bunch of cool shows, cool after shows. Derek Hagan wasn't here today. He's still on holiday vacation. Must be nice to have 11 years in the NFL. You can take extended Thanksgiving vacations. Once again, I'm Brandon London. Thank you guys for watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.